the Israelites always complained to God about the problems they had. When God heard their complaints, they got very angry and set fire around the camp. The people began to scream and ask Moses for help. So Moses prayed to God for them, and the fire went out. That's why they called that place Taberah, which means fire. They called it that way to remember that God had been angry with them. Every night, the manna and the dew of the field fell down. The manna was small as a cilantro seed and yellow as a raisin. In the morning, the people would go out to the field to collect it. Then they would grind it, cook it, and make bread with it. The manna had a flavor similar to that of flour bread with oil. However, among the Israelites, there were people from other towns that only cared about eating. The Israelites got carried away by them, and they began to cry, and hopefully we could eat meat. Do they remember the fish that we ate for free in Egypt? How tasty were cucumber, melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlics that they ate there. Instead, now we are starving, and the only thing we see is manna. There is a custom of the human being, and that habit is so bad. It's to complain about everything. It seems that we go to bed, and the next day we wake up only with the attitude of seeing what we do not have, of complaining about what we lack. We complain about work. We complain about what we don't have, and even about what we have. We complain about children. We complain about our family. We complain about everything. We always have a selfish attitude, an arrogant attitude, and a manipulative attitude. With an order to get what we want, and even as we approach God, we approach with a complaint. Here he talks about the people of Israel, but I can see this simple as a mirror of what many people are today. Nowadays, when we have an attitude that does not please God, an attitude of complaint, and the problem is not only that we complain, but that we always look for someone to blame. And the first one we look at is from the heaven. We always complain to God. They complain to God about the problems they had. I think it's a repetitive attitude, because how many today are getting up with a complaint in their mouth? If I had, because of me, because of someone else, and why not me? Because I have to be the one to do this or that. I am the one who pays for the broken dishes, because I have to go through the circumstances. We start to think, I feel that God does not love me. I feel that God forgot about me. To pretend a person of pity and to go through life showing pity so that others do not have them, that is a dull attitude, a vain attitude. What Israel did at the time, because they were in the desert, but along they were in the desert, they never lacked anything. It's incredible when we complain and we are not grateful. We will always notice that something is missing. We will never be satisfied. Suddenly, the word agree, I do not mean to stay with that you already have, but to be grateful for what God has already given you in this new day. Or do you consider it to be very little to have life? Do you consider it's very little to have health? Because the fact that you get up every morning, even if there are situations that you have to face, you go hand in hand with God, and He will give you the wisdom to face them. There are situations that they will not be solved in the blink of an eye. It's more, God never promised the absence of problems for those who are in it. We are in the world, dear friend. Dear friend, we are facing situations every day in which we must make decisions. We are in life, and although life is the most wonderful thing that the Lord has given us, it has many risks, it has many obstacles, and it has many challenges. And the question is, how do we face them? God gives a promise to the people of Israel. Have you all heard the truth of the land that flows milk and honey? And when we talk about the land that flows milk and honey, we imagine our reward or the place of our blessings. For them, it was something literally because after being slaves in Egypt for about 430 years, let's say that 4 or 5 generations of slavery, they were at liberty, although they were in the desert. But they were walking towards a promise. In the desert, they complained, and there they were treated by the Lord. But note that although it was not the same generation that entered the promised land through Joshua and Caleb, it was a new generation. It was their children. But there was something that this desert generation inherited for their children when they entered to conquer the promised land. It was an inheritance of a wrong attitude. Many complained. Many did not know how to take advantage when others did. And it's there where I begin to meditate and realize all entered the promised land, all a new generation from the hand of Joshua and Caleb. They entered the promised land. And if they were all in the same land that flowed milk and honey, the same land of blessing, the same land where God told them that everything would prosper for them, because some became prosperous and because others did not, because some lived well in their homes because others did not. Could it be that God had determined it this way? God's promises was for everyone, but not everyone had the attitude, the thought, and the vision to ensure that this promise would come true in their lives and that they could manifest what God had given them to conquer and live well. That is the difference between one and the other. While many today are getting up and complaining that because of the disease, that because of the situation, that because of the other, and others are saying, thank you, Father, because today you give me one day more of life to conquer, to walk in your purpose, to know how to walk. There are two perspectives of life. One of the perspectives of a defeated, and the other perspective of one who knows who he is in God, and that God supports him to undertake everything that God has not put in his heart. The million-dollar question today is, what is your perspective on life? It can be like this generation that because of the problems they had, complained to God. They complained because they had the mania, and not only that, but they allowed those around them to influence them for bad. Look at what the word says, that there were people from other towns among them who only cared about eating, and they let themselves be carried away by these other people, influence these other people to complain and build a plot against Moses and complain against God for being there. Or you are those types of people, or are you one of those who learn to be thankful, who learn to see life as God sees it, who in the midst of the crisis sees opportunities? They see your work as an opportunity to move forward. They are not cursing every now and then, complaining. You know, when you complain, you curse. When you complain about life, when you complain about everything, you are cursing. When you complain about the economy, we complain about the country, we are cursing the place that God has blessed and prepared for us. But whoever lets himself be guided by the Lord learns to listen, learns to see. He is grateful and knows that even in the midst of what is approaching his life, God is in control and will show him a way out and victory. The Bible says that God makes the sun rise for good and for bad. God makes it rain for good and for the bad, because God is just and gives us all the same opportunity every day. It's up to us how much faith we have, how much hope, how much trust, and how much wisdom to know what God put in our hands and how to use them, so as not to let us affect what this world wants to put in front of us. On the contrary, we can get up, believe God, and move on. Dear friend, let me tell you something. You have not finished your degree. The race is not over. And you have not arrived the door until now to die, but so that you know how to know how great God is and what He has for you, today is a time to make a stop in your complaints and surrender your heart to the Lord and release all the rebellious attitude, all attitude of complaint, all attitude of pain, all attitude that leads to misery. Tell the Lord, I want to see life as you do. I assure you, you will begin to understand that God has a purpose with you, and you will find meaning to life. Do not live just to live. Live for God. It's worth it. Prayer. Father, thank you for your word and for what you teach us today, because we can have a complaining attitude. And when we complain, Lord, we always see the bad in all, though the way out is in front. Before our eyes, we will never see it because we have already taken the option of living as defeated. We have already taken the option, Lord, to surrender. But not to surrender to you, but to surrender to life. But today I cry out for each person, Lord, who today is suddenly discouraged and is thinking about surrender. Lift him up, Lord. Rise him up and give him the opportunity to see that he is privileged, because while there is life, there is hope. And that when you are in control, nothing this world shows us is a reality. Our reality is you. You are all powerful and you always have a way out for everything we need. Walking by your hand, Father, is the best. We need you, Lord. Thank you very much for your mercy towards us. And starting today, renew our way of thinking. We don't want to be those who complain. We want to be those who are grateful. We want to be, Lord, those who believe you to overcome. This was a translation from your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyer. Remember that God always arrives just in time.